ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सर्वस्य प्रभवो मत्तः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम् बुधा भाव समन्विताः।
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. From this verse on, from 8, 9, 10 and 11, these four verses are called as Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. And they are very important, crest jewel verses of Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord is revealing very great truths about Himself and His nature. Every one of us in this world is in search of the root of everything, the ultimate shelter of everything, so that we can rest in peace by taking shelter of that source of everything. Like if you wonder how a fruit has come up in a tree, then you will see that behind the fruit there was a flower. The flower, the fruit has come. And behind the flower, there is a twig. And then behind that, there is a branch. So imagine if you are like a small ant or an insect in a tree, and you are trying to find out how this fruit has come, so you can go further and further. There are many immediate causes and there are remote causes. There is one remote cause, but there are many immediate causes. And what we perceive generally is the immediate cause only. And then somebody may have a more deeper vision. He may understand that this fruit has come from the flower has come from the branch, and the branch is quite long, and there's many more flowers, many more fruits. And then he may reach up to the end of that branch. But then, very rarely can one find out, go down to the stem, and then understand the stem also is coming from the ground. It's coming from the root. So, why are we interested in finding out the root of all existence? What is the advantage in knowing the root of all existence? Suddenly, many great sages and saints in the past wanted to know the source of all existence or the root of all existence. The reason is that when one becomes little wiser than the common populace, one understands that there is suffering in this world. There is unlimited suffering in this world. And one wants to know, if we can know where everything is originating from, we can also know why are we put into this suffering, and how we can put a full stop to this suffering. You know, you heard this phrase, passing the buck. Like I pass the buck to you and you pass the buck to him, and passing the buck from one person to another person. But in the table of United States President, if you see, there is a slogan, the buck ends here. Buck stops here. Isn't it? So there is one person in the top of everyone, beyond whom there is no one. So he is the ultimate, just full stop of everything. So if we can know who that person is or what that truth is, then one can achieve freedom from all sufferings. That's why everyone is eager to know what is absolute truth. Here in this verse which we read just now, you can see what Krishna says. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Here the Lord is revealing the truth that He is the source of everything, including spiritual and material worlds. There is nothing that does not come from Krishna or that is not connected to Krishna. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also, Lord says that if anybody finds anything wonderful or splendorous that has no connection to me, understand that to be my Maya. He says, it's only due to Maya that the living entities think there is happiness in this world separate from God. Isn't it? Everyone in this world, there are so many people running here and there in search of happiness and apparently smiling and enjoying, but all that is considered simply a figment of their imagination, simply illusion. Because God says, if anybody thinks there is any happiness separate from me, that is actually illusory happiness. It is simply an imagination. So it's not only happiness, it is even the truth. If any truth is seen separate from God, then it has no substance, it has no practical substance. The very first verse of Bhagavatam says this. Janma adhyasya yathonvayati taratashcharte shabhignya swarat tejo vari mridam yathavinimayo yatratri sargo mrusha. The second line says this. Tejo vari mridam yathavinimaya yatratri sargo mrusha. So it says that all the things in this world appear to be very attractive to the living entities, but it is like a mirage in a desert. It's like simply a mirage in a desert. You know, mirage in a desert appears that there is some water. When you go near, there is no water there. All you find is only hot sand. But from a distance, it looks like mirage. I mean, it looks like water. In the same way, he says, janmadhyasa yataha, means, if anybody asks you, who is God? A very simple definition. God is one from whom everything emanates. A very simple definition. Janma, janmadi, yataha. This is the first shloka of Vedanta also. God is actually the source of everything. And it says that, so even the great demigods and rishis are put into illusion by seeing this colorful display of the three modes of material nature in this material creation. Even they think of something else to be truth, something else to be a source of happiness other than God. But those who are ultimately wise will take shelter of only Krishna. They will not turn their attention to anything else besides God. See, there are two things in this world. There is God and there is God's energies. So those who are wise will only focus their attention on God, on the source of everything. And those who are foolish, they will be absorbed in the God's energies and thinking of that to be the source of all pleasure. Like that. So, the source of everything is God, material and spiritual worlds. If somehow one can relinquish all the attractions and allurements of this world and completely focus on the root of all existence, Krishna, God, then one is also free from all suffering. But for that, in the first place, one has to know what is the root of all existence. Now in our classes we easily say it's Krishna. And some people who have a clean slate or an innocent heart, and I immediately accept it. Yes, I accept that Krishna is God and He is the source of everything. I bow down my head to Him. I surrender to Him. But it is not the case with all living entities. Generally people don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Truth very easily, because they are able to perceive many immediate causes which make them think that this must be the cause, and they are attached to their own opinions. This must be the cause of everything. Some people think the Brahma Jyoti is the cause of everything. Some people think Narayana is the cause of everything. And some people think that there is nothing beyond this material world. Like even the Sankhyas, who are atheistic Sankhyas, they say there are 24 elements we have analytically understood, but these 24 elements The conglomeration of 24 elements is the only truth. There is nothing beyond. This material world is everything. So, different people have different understanding about what that remote cause is, what that ultimate cause is. And people are stuck up with the immediate causes. In fact, when we worship Krishna, some people think we are stuck up in the immediate cause. And they say, actually ultimate cause is impersonal Brahman. But you are stuck up in the immediate cause. That's what they think. That is the reason why Krishna speaks this verse after the verse Buddhir Jnanam Asammoham. He said that all the qualities or the instruments with which you try to perceive me are coming from me only, awarded by me. So if you want to imagine that the ultimate truth is impersonal Brahman, I will give you that understanding. And if you want to know the reality that this personality of Godhead Shyamasundara is ultimate truth, then I will give you that understanding. Depending on how one surrenders to me, ye tamam prapadyante tam sadeva bhajamyaham. Accordingly, I will give you that understanding. So in order for the whole world to know the truth, what is the root of our existence, Krishna is telling this verse. Aham sarvasya prabhavah mattah sarvam pravartate. Everything comes from me. In the second kind of Bhagavatam, after Lord Brahma performed severe penances for several years, then he gets the Lord's darshan. Let us read some prayers what Brahmaji said. This is 2.9.30. He is saying here, O my Lord, the unborn, you have shaken hands with me, just as a friend does with a friend, as if equal in position. I shall be engaged in the creation of different types of living entities, and I shall be occupied in your service. I shall have no perturbation, but I pray that all this may not give rise to pride, as if I were the supreme. So Brahmaji offered many prayers. This is the last prayer which I read just now. So that's a very long story, how even the first created living being Brahma was born in darkness. What to speak of us tiny living entities who are insignificant in comparison to Brahmaji. Brahmaji is considered the most wise. He is called as Tene Brahma Hridaye Adi Kavaye. Kavi is not an ordinary person. Kavi is a very very wise person and learned person. Even Lord is addressed as Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram. So Brahmaji is actually the Adi Kavi, the original living being, the first created living being in this universe. But even he is put to darkness. He is put in ignorance and he is suffering from ignorance. And then he performs severe he tries to search out the root of all existence, he is not able to. Then he gets the word tapa. He performs penance. And then gradually he is able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. And he is able to see his ankle belts, he is able to see the pitambar, he is able to see the waist belt of the Lord and jeweled ornaments and the beautiful Kastuba jewel and Vaijayanti mala, everything on his chest. Then he is able to behold the beautiful face of Vishnu. And not only that, Lord Vishnu directly comes in front of him and shakes hands with him. So that's what he is saying here. My dear Lord, you are shaking hands with me as if I am your friend. And after he offered his prayers, now Lord is speaking. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. 2931. See what Lord says. Jnanam paramagusyam me yad vijnana samanvitam sa rahasyam tadangam cha grihana kaditam maya. The personality of God had said, knowledge about me as described in the scriptures is very confidential and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. You may take it up carefully. So the very first thing Lord says this here. My dear Brahma, knowledge about me is present in the scriptures, but it cannot be understood without devotional service. Without performing bhakti, no one can arrive at the absolute truth. It is said, the jnanis and yogis perform severe penances. Muni Pungavanam. What is that famous verse? What is the first line? Pantasukoti Shatavatsara Sampradamyo
వాయోరతాపి మనసో ముని పుంగవానాం సోప్యస్తి యత్ ప్రపదసేంజ విచింత్య తత్వే గోవిందమాది పురుషం తమహం భజామి.
సో యూ సేయింగ్ ముని పుంగవ మీన్స్ ద లీడర్స్ అమంగ్స్ ద మునీస్, దట్స్ ముని పుంగవ, లీడర్స్ అమంగ్స్ ద మునీస్. హి సేస్ పంతాస్తు కోటి శత వత్సర సంప్రగమ్యవ, కోటి మీన్స్ ఆల్రెడీ క్రోర్, శత మీన్స్ అనదర్ హండ్రెడ్, హండ్రెడ్ క్రోర్స్. పంతాస్తు కోటి, పంత మీన్స్ ద పాఠం, పంతాస్తు కోటి శతవత్సర సంప్రగమ్యో వాయోరతాపి మనసో ముని పుంగవాన్. దర్ ఆర్ మునీస్ హూ కెన్ ట్రావెల్ అట్ ద స్పీడ్ ఆఫ్ విండ్ అండ్ దర్ ఆర్ అదర్స్ హూ కెన్ ట్రావెల్ అట్ ద స్పీడ్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్, బట్ ఆల్దో దే ఆర్ సో పవర్ఫుల్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ దే ట్రావెల్ మిలియన్స్ అండ్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ మైల్స్ దే కెన్ నెవర్ అచీవ్ ద గోలోక వృందావన్ ఆర్ ద ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద కింగ్డమ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. అట్ బెస్ట్ దే మే సోప్తి అస్తి ప్రపద సీమ్య అవిచింత్య తత్వే. ఈ సేస్ ద టిప్ ఆఫ్ ద టో నెయిల్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ విచ్ ఇస్ షైనింగ్ లైక్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ సన్స్, ఓన్లీ దట్ మచ్ దే కెన్ గెట్ ద గ్లింప్స్ ఆఫ్ దాట్ ఈవెన్ విత్ సచ్ ఎండేవర్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ద లార్డ్. దే నెవర్ అండర్స్టాండ్ కృష్ణ యాజ్ గాడ్, but they will only see the shining tip of the toenail of Krishna. That's all they can perceive, even with severe penances. Such people cannot see him. But here the Lord is saying, one can see me, one can understand me. How? If that knowledge is achieved along with devotional service. If one performs bhakti, the coward boys are never, you know, having problem in looking at Krishna. Just because Krishna's body is dazzling like millions of suns, now they are getting blindness. It's not that they are facing problem with Krishna's dazzling effulgence. They don't even see it. Krishna's body is dazzling like millions of suns. And the jnanis are seeing only the Brahman, which is the emanation from Krishna's body. Whereas the covered boys, he says that, Yittam satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena మాయాశితానాం నరదారకేన సాకం విజారు కృతపుణ్య పుంజ. బికాజ్ దే ఆర్ కృతపుణ్య పుంజ, దే హవ్ డన్ మిలియన్స్ అండ్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ సుకృతి పాయస్ క్రెడిట్స్, దే ఆర్ ఏబుల్ టు సీ కృష్ణ ఫేస్ టు ఫేస్ విదౌట్ హ్యావింగ్ టు సీ హిస్ ఎఫల్జెన్స్. వేర్ ఎస్ దోస్ హు ఆర్ నాట్ కృష్ణ డివోటీస్ దే మే సీ ఎఫల్జెన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఎనార్మస్ ఎండేవర్, దే మే గెట్ టు సీ ద టిప్ ఆఫ్ ద టోనెయిల్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ లైక్ దాట్. But here he is saying, those who do bhakti, they can see me, they can achieve me. So he take up to bhakti, he is telling Brahmaji. And then he says, all of me, namely my actual eternal form, my transcendental existence, color, qualities, activities, let it all be awakened within you by factual realization, out of my causeless mercy. And then the Lord speaks the most famous verse, this text number 33, that is 2.9.33.
అహమేవాసమేవాగ్రె నాన్యద్యత్ సదసత్పరం పశ్చాదహం జరేతచ్చ యోవ శిష్యేత సోస్మ్యహం.
బ్రహ్మ, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఐ ద పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ హూ వాజ్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్ బిఫోర్ ద క్రియేషన్ వెన్ దర్ వాజ్ నథింగ్ బట్ మై సెల్ఫ్ నార్ వాజ్ దేర్ ద మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So this is a long purport, almost 4 or 5 pages. Prabhupada has written many. And then these four verses are Chatushtaki Bhagavat, we call it. Between 2.9.33 Bhagavatam, 33, 34, 35, 36, that is called as Bhagavatam, where Lord tells about his identity, who is he. So Lord is saying that even before the material world was created, it was me who was existing. Just like if you all ask yourself, although scientists make a bold, foolish proposal that everything came from a big bang or everything came from nothing, is there anyone here who can say you came from nothing? Did you come from nothing? Any of you here? Did you not come from a mother and father? Isn't it? Everyone comes from mother and father. Although you cannot even imagine how you were in the mother's womb or father's womb or mother's womb, begotten by the father, how mother and father generated and how the seed was sent into the embryo and how you got a body. These are all just inconceivable to us. But how we got this body, we don't know. But we can't deny the fact that we were born from mother and father, and our father had a father also, and his father had a father. And if you go, these are all immediate causes, huh? This is immediate cause, and then another cause, and then another cause. If you go higher and higher and higher, in another prayer, Brahmaji says, "My dear Krishna, you are my mother and father, both. Because I was born from the lotus flower that sprouted from your navel. So I don't have any mother. You are my mother and you are my father also." So, Krishna is called as the Sarva Karana Karanam, cause of all causes. Sometimes people ask, as if they are very intelligent, okay, if Krishna created everything, who created Krishna? Or who is the father of Krishna? Who is above Krishna? But as we said earlier, Krishna is the full stop of everything. He is a Sarva Karana Karanam. It is said, Ishwaraha Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir. Both words are used. Anadir means God has no source. He doesn't have any source. But Adir means He is the source of everything. Sarva Karana Karanam is the cause of all causes. He has no source, but He is the source of everything. He stands above time. Time is under His feet. So time cannot change His body. Time cannot cause any diminution in Him. Time cannot deteriorate His body or His existence or His activities. Time is below His feet. Lord stands above time. That is why it is explained, Navayavvanamcha Purana Purusham. Purana Purusham means a very old Purusha. He is the oldest being that one can think of. How it begins? Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayavvanam cha. It's the original. Advaita Machitam Anadim Anantarupam. There also Anadi is said. Anantarupam. He has unlimited forms, but still he is Adhyam. He is the original. Adhyam Purana Purusham. He is the oldest of all beings. He is the oldest Purusha. But whenever, as soon as you hear, my grandfather is the oldest person in our family, and what do you imagine in your mind? Oh, he must be having a stick, he must be having long flowing beard, isn't it? He must be a baldy, isn't it? He must be very weak and everything. So again Brahmaji gives a warning, don't imagine such wrong things about my Lord. How does he look like? Navayavvanam cha. He says, Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayavvanam cha. Like that. So the Lord is beyond any age. The Lord cannot be diminished, and He is beyond time. So in this four verses He is saying like this, it is I who existed before creation and after creation I exist. In fact, there is explanation given, just like you see a spider, it drinks out some liquid from the mouth, you see, and then it makes a web, cobweb, and then very comfortably it sits in the middle of the cobweb. Although the spider made the web itself and sitting comfortably in the middle of the web without getting entangled in that web, any other passing fly will get entangled in that. You will see that. You have seen that? Some fly comes flying. The more it flaps, the more it gets wound there. It will do like that and it will just get more and more wound thoroughly. Just cannot escape. The spider will devour him. You have seen that? Similarly, Lord Krishna, expanding as Vishnu, He creates this web of this material existence. A very, very complex web of this material existence. And He very peacefully rests. He just now makes a lotus from His navel, creates Brahma, and Brahma does the rest of the business. And then He relaxes peacefully. And all the living entities are like the flies that go into that web and get caught up there. They all get entangled in the mesh of karma and karma phala. They perform karma and get the reactions to the karma and get entangled. But the Lord never gets entangled. He is just watching as a witness. That is why the Lord says, I can unwind from my body the whole material energies. Namely, the Bhumi, Rapa, Anala, Vayu, Kammanaha, Buddhi, Revata, Ahankara. I can unwind all of them. And then when I unwind them, then it's like some kind of chemical process, you see. Like in a laboratory, you do in a vessel, First you take a vessel, you put one chemical and another chemical. Similarly, Lord also does it. So He creates the Brahmanda. In the Brahmanda, He puts all the material elements, ingredients, and they all mixed up and the planets are made and planets are there. And He also puts the three modes of material nature. Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Satoguna. Then he, although he has put everything stagnant. And as soon as he inserts the tongue, everything starts moving. Along with his glands, when he puts it. Immediately everything is set rolling and all the living entities are running. The chara, achara. Chara means the achara means the non-living beings and the moving beings. Everything is created in the world. And they all start, everyone starts doing their activities like that. But Lord is like a witness. He's just watching everything happening. That's why he says, I existed before creation and I created everything and everything is going on. And then there is kalpa and there will be pralaya also afterwards. When pralaya comes, what happens? Again, everything enters into my nature. Like when there is a cosmic annihilation, dissolution, then you enter into the navel of Vishnu. And again it comes out. Again it's created. Again it enters the navel of Vishnu. At one time the whole Brahmanda is destroyed. Even Brahmaji also is finished. That time the whole universe enters into Mahavishnu. Like that. That is a big dissolution. Mahapralaya we call it. So he says like this. And then 34, verse he says here.
Prate artam jat pratiyetana pratiyeta cha atmani tadvidyatmano maya yatabhaso yatatama.
This is what I was telling. Oh Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, it has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. It's a very deep verse, but with a simple illustration it will be easy to understand. Like in a dark room, somebody may throw a light. Like you have seen this broken glass piece. If somebody takes a broken glass piece, reflects the sunlight and sends it into a dark room. You all have done that in your childhood? Isn't it? Yeah. So inside a dark room you may see light. Somebody who is accustomed to being in a dark room, for the first time, when a person sees a light, such a bright light, how attractive it is. So he will imagine that this light is coming from the darkness only, or it belongs to the dark room. That fool cannot see that behind this some kind of chamak, some kind of shining, and there is a broken glass piece. And the broken glass piece is actually reflecting the light of the sun only. Without the sun, this light cannot come. Similarly, the original world is a spiritual world, and the material world is a reflection, a tiny perverted reflection. But one who becomes allured by the tiny reflections in this world and forgets the remote cause, captured by the immediate causes, then he is considered a fool. Such a person is considered a mudha. We were talking about mudha and dhira, right? So generally people are mudhas. Prabhupada, one purport writes, people are generally like animals, he writes. Because people cannot see beyond. Their vision they never goes up. It's always very low. So it's very easy to understand this, what we are talking now. Like a child cannot relate with anybody besides the mother and father. Isn't it? Child doesn't know anybody else in the beginning. After some time, a child grows up, you know, maximum one may think of one's caste people. He belongs to my caste, or my surname and his surname are same, so maybe I should give some help. One says like that. Or somebody may think, Jai Maharashtra, isn't it? Because you are, anybody who speaks Marathi, I like them more. Anybody who speaks some other language, oh, they are like foreign. You feel foreign, you may not say that probably. You feel little foreign. Sometimes people ask, you belong to such and such a state. And if they say, I also belong to that state. They feel a kind of affinity, isn't it? Like Krishna Prabhu asked me once. Isn't it? Tamil Aninga, somebody told me. Isn't it? You feel affinity, some kind of affinity you feel. Now, you are within India, that's why, you want somebody who can speak Marathi, somebody who can speak. Oh, you are Gujarati. Immediately they feel very nice. Kemcho. So start speaking in Gujarati after. Feel some kind of nearness you feel, isn't it? But when you go to America, even if somebody is from India, you feel very nice, isn't it? At least, any language he speaks, isn't it? At least, you are also Indian, I am also Indian, at least. Indians, you feel like that. So you can see that our vision gradually extends. You can see that. So we are talking about this shining light within a dark room. In the same way, we are attracted to things which are very near to us. We are seeing only the immediate causes. But when one's vision extends more and more, as it progresses further and further, then one will be able to come to a point where one can understand the ultimate source of all that being, that is God. Then one can see every living entity as brother and sister. It's possible. We talk about universal brotherhood. Not only the human beings, not only somebody who speaks your language, or somebody who belongs to your country, or only a human being. What is a human being? Even animals, and birds, and aquatics. You can see every living body, you can see them with compassion, you can see them as your brother. Universal brotherhood. Why? Because you are seeing Krishna, the ultimate source of all that being. Then in relation to Him, you can see every living being. And you can see Krishna seated in the heart of everyone. So naturally you love everyone. A practical example is of Mrigari. See, Mrigari was half killing animals, isn't it? He was so cruel. He was so barbaric in the beginning. But later, he loved even the ants. Tiny ants which were passing through the road. He didn't want to step on them. He didn't want to offer obeisances on them. He didn't want to hurt them. One who was killing animals. Big animals. He didn't want to even kill a small ant. No. Such a transformation of consciousness. That happens when one understands Krishna as the Supreme Father. That means we should learn to see the connection of every object to Krishna. Then we have no problem. You see, the material energy of Krishna is extremely powerful. If we try to see material energy separate from Krishna, we will be ruined. We have to always learn to see the material energy of Krishna in relation to Krishna. Then we are safe. What is the meaning of that? Vishnur Mayam Idam Pashyan Save Bhagavat Uttama. The Bhagavat Uttama, the Uttama Bhagavat, he sees that this is Vishnu Maya. He sees it. Like Prabhupada is giving example, you know, Kayadu. Kayadu is a woman. And she was pregnant and she was having Prahlad in her room. And she was carried by the demigods like Indra and other people. You know why they were carrying her? So that as soon as the child is born, immediately the child can be killed. That was their idea. Or maybe even she should be killed. Because you know, she is in her room holding a Rakshasa child, they were thinking. Who is going to be the son of Hiranyakashipu? Who will be bigger than the father? They are afraid. So they were taking her, and immediately Narada Muni came and stopped her. Stopped them and said, "Don't you know that the child in the womb of this lady, it is actually a Mahabhagavad devotee? And he is not a Rakshasa, he is a devotee." At once all the demigods put faith, and then they offered obeisances to Narada Muni, and they circumambulated Kayadu and they went away. Then Narada Muni kept Kayadu in her ashram, and every day he gave Sadupadesh, Upadesh about Krishna and the Bhagavat Dharma. He taught her. And Kayadu would be hearing, but she was generally in anxiety about her husband. She was thinking about the child, about the husband. So she didn't hear so attentively. But the child heard everything very attentively in the womb. And child became a great devotee later. Now Prabhupada writes that interesting thing. Only a great Mahabhagavat like Narada Muni can give shelter to a woman like Kayadu. And Kayadu also could take shelter of Narada Muni without any fear of being exploited by a man. Can you imagine? Generally a woman can be exploited by a man very easily. But here is a woman who is given shelter by a man. And here is Narada Muni who is unaffected by keeping a mother in his ashram, and is able to see her as a mother. Of course, Prabhupada says one cannot imitate this. One cannot imitate. But what we are trying to say here is that the Lord's devotees, they always see anything of this world in relation to the Lord. They don't see separately. So Narada Muni's purpose of bringing Kayadu to his ashram was to train Prahlad to make him a great devotee. So he wanted to see Prahlad becoming a very great devotee, Mahabhagavad devotee. And when he was inserting her, he could see her as a mother. So he was not seeing her as an object of exploitation and enjoyment. That is the lesson we learn. So a devotee is able to see Krishna as the source of everything, including Maya also. Otherwise, he says people are attracted by Maya. And then he says, "Oh Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. This I'll explain later, when we come to another discussion of Brahma. The person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. So in this way, these four verses the Lord spoke to Brahmaji to tell the truth about himself in Bhagavatam. So here Krishna says the same thing, Aham Sarvasya Prabhuvo Matta Saram Pravartate, in a more simple fashion, that I am the source of all that exists. In fact, it is not just a theoretical statement that we hear from the scripture. One has to develop a firm faith in the statement of Krishna, that he is the source of everything that exists. In order to substantiate this statement, Srimad Bhagavatam gives another evidence. There is a conversation between Brahma and Krishna after the Brahma Vimohan Leela. It's a very interesting conversation. It is 10.14.14 in Bhagavatam. There's a very famous verse. If you refer this verse, 10.14.14, it's a very nice verse.
Narayanastho nahi sarvadehinam Atmasya desha kila loka sakshi Narayanongam narabhujalayanat Tachapi satyam natavaiva maya.
So here Brahma is now seeking forgiveness from Krishna after stealing the covered boys and the calves, after the pastime gets over. Now Brahma has come to his senses and is seeking forgiveness. So he is coming to Krishna and with folded palms he is praying, "My dear Lord, a child in the womb of a mother sometimes may kick inside the womb of the mother, isn't it? Mothers know about it. The child is kicking. So you feel a kind of sensation inside, but the mother doesn't get angry with the child for that. Similarly, he says, "I am Brahma, although people consider me great, I am also inside the womb of this Brahmanda." It is like a womb. "Although I am a small, tiny living entity kept in this capsule of Brahmanda, you are a very great magnanimous soul from whose body millions of Brahmandas come, countless universes come out of your body. Whereas who am I? I am a small, tiny living entity kept inside the womb of this Brahmanda. And within this Brahmanda I am doing mischievous activity, so you forgive me. So don't be angry with me." Like that he is praying. And then in this prayer you see what he says. "Are you not the original Narayana, O Supreme Controller? Since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realms, indeed Lord Narayana is your expansion, and he is called Narayana because he is the generating source of the primeval water of the universe." So here, to read the series of verses, there is an interesting discussion in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishna Kaviraj Goswami takes this verse which we read just now, and based on Bhagavatam he has elaborated it more and more to prove the supremacy of Krishna. So now you will see in the subsequent verses, if you read, you will see when Brahma told this to Krishna, "Are you not my supreme mother and father? Are you not the supreme Narayana? So you please forgive me." Then Krishna is asking him a question. What are you saying? "I am just a covered boy. I play on my flute and I herd the cows, and you are calling me as mother and father. I don't understand anything." So Krishna tells him. But Brahmaji says, No. I am very confident that you are my Supreme Father, and I will prove this statement to you. How you are the original God of everything. So he gives three proofs, how Krishna is ultimate God, and each of it has many subdivisions. So if you understand these three proofs that Brahmaji gives, then we will develop a firm faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there is no truth beyond him. So he is saying, in the first proof he is saying, that all the living beings within the material and spiritual worlds are ultimately born of you, and you are the super soul of all of them. And how are the living entities expanding? Then he tells about Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the source of all living beings, the marginal living entities. Some of which is in the spiritual world and some are in the material world. And he says that just as the fire causes also smoke. Like you see, whenever there is smoke, we can easily say there must be fire. Isn't it? Can there be smoke without fire? Of course, there can be fire without smoke. But there cannot be smoke without fire. Correct? Isn't it? Can there be smoke without fire? Stream, somebody says yes. Yeah? So the smoke comes from fire only. In the same way, like clouds come from the sun only. Isn't it? How are the clouds made? Made by the sun. The sun absorbs water and the clouds are formed. And the very same clouds cover our vision from the sun. That is how the Maya is produced. Maya also comes from the Lord only. So the smoke comes from the fire. So he says, the Sankarshan is the source of all living beings. He is like the fire. But this fire has no smoke in it. But the material world is compared to the smoke. Material world is compared to the smoke. So he says that smoke is dependent on fire, but in a blazing fire there is no place for smoke. The smoke is disturbing, whereas the fire is serving. The fire serves the purpose in a furnace, whereas the smoke is always disturbing to the eyes. You have seen, I don't know how many of you experience, using this log of wood, firewood, sometimes they used to be wet, you know. You put it inside that furnace and you take that long rod and you do like that. So, Dandra, how many of you have experience of this? Half of you? Acha. Even if you're coming from town, you must have done, by heating water or something. So, you blow it, So, now, if you see, sometimes whenever the fire is wet, then it causes smoke and it really burns your eyes like anything. Similarly, the material world causes disturbance to all living entities. It's very disturbing, material existence. Here our mind is disturbed, senses are disturbed, our whole existence is disturbed in the material world. Whereas in the spiritual world, that's compared to the fire. Fire only serves the purpose. Once there is good fire, then you can cook the food very nicely. Isn't it? So in the spiritual world, everyone is serving. There is no disturbance in anybody's mind. Everyone is happy. So Brahmaji quoted this very appropriate example and told him that you are not directly the source of every living entity, but Sankarshana is the source of all the marginal living entities. From him comes the material existence, and all the living entities are put in the material existence. Then he gives an example. He says, if you take some mud from the ground and you make a fire pot out of that, and the pot is also kept on the ground only, the shelter of that pot is also the ground. Similarly, all the living entities expand from you, my dear Lord, and they are also resting on you only. You are the resting place. The very meaning of the word Narayana means, Nara means the aggregate living entities. Ayana means the resting place. So resting place for all the living entities is called as Narayana. Narayana. So in this first argument, he is proving that you are the shelter of all living entities. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, Maya Tanamidam Sarvam Jagadavyakta Murtana Matsthani. Sarva Bhutani, Matsthani means they all rest in me, all living entities. Like that. So he wants to show that Krishna is the ultimate shelter of all living entities. Now you may think he is talking in terms of Narayan. So somebody may think Narayana is supreme. But then he is saying, no, you are the original Narayana. In the second argument, he proves that. He says in the second argument that for all the living beings in this world, who are the direct lords for them? The Purushavataras, three Purushavataras. Mahavishnu creates all the Brahmandas. The three Purusharthas. Three Purushavataras. Who is the first Purushavatar? Mahavishnu or Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. Ekastam Mahataha Srishtir. He does a Srishtir. Dhitiyam Stu Anda Samstitam. The second Vishnu is who? Garbhadaksha Vishnu, who lies within the cosmos, within the Brahmanda. And who is the third Vishnu? Dhitiyam Sarva Bhutastam. He enters into the heart of every living being. So, out of this, whose navel has got the Pankaj? All of you sure? So, who is the super soul? Shirtashni, yeah. So, he says that these are the three lords who are direct controllers and protectors of the living entities in this creation. But then Brahmaji said, but all those three lords also, they take shelter of you. You are the shelter of those three lords also. Those three. Since you protect those who are shelters of all living beings, you are the original Narayana, he says. You are the source of even them. Now in this connection, Krishna Kaviraj Goswami gives an argument. He says that, you know, the 24 avatars that are given in Bhagavatam, list of 24 avatars are given. So some people argue that there is a name Krishna also in that. So maybe they will say that Krishna is also one of the avatars who is existing as one of the avatars. So all the avatars belong to Narayan. They all come from Narayan, and Krishna is also one of the avatars. And also the specific so in order to substantiate the supremacy of Krishna, the specific symptoms of each avatar is given. Like Vaman Deva has these specific symptoms. And each and every avatar has specific symptoms. Now besides that, he explains the subject and predicate. For example, you say, this Vipra is very learned in all Vedic literatures. When you say, or this Pandita. So this Pandita is actually the subject. And the second part is called as a predicate, subject and predicate. Subject always comes first, the predicate comes later. And subject is considered more important than the predicate. In the same way he says, if you see the list of all the incarnations that are given, at the end there is a very famous statement, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. So this one phrase was taken, one aphorism, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, by Jiva Goswami, and he wrote some 5 lakh verses on this. Only the statement. He took this and he expanded it into, Jiva Goswami is famous for writing, and lakhs of verses he has written is available in Goswami literatures. So Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam is the main subject that he took, and he expanded to show how Krishna is supreme. So now Krishna Kaviraj Goswami argues here Krishna is the main subject and all the avatars are subordinate to him. If it was not, then why after explaining all the avatars Krishna is highlighted? It can say Narayana to Bhagavan Swayam. It can say now all these are incarnations of Narayana. Why Narayana Bhagavan Swami is not mentioned? Why the word Krishna is again mentioned? That means the very same Krishna can come like an avatar. Like sometimes there is no chief minister of a particular state, then the prime minister only takes care of that state. Like that Krishna may come. But Krishna Bhagavan Swami is very, very important. That Krishna is the ultimate Bhagavan of all the different incarnations. So Krishna is the source of even all the Vishnu Tattvas also. That's like when Akrura went to take Krishna Balaram from Vrindavan, and then they were returning back from Vrindavan to Mathura. On the journey, it was time for performing Gayatri, and Akrura stopped the chariot, and he entered into the waters to bathe himself and to perform Gayatri. And surprisingly, he saw Krishna Balaram there. So he thought maybe the lords have come also to take bath. Then he went back to his chariot, and there also he found Krishna Balaram there. And he was surprised how they were in the water and how quickly they came here. He was surprised. Then he saw them in the chariot and he went behind, and then again he looked at the waters. And there he found, this time, Krishna Balaram had transformed into Vishnu, who was lying in Anantashesh, and surrounded by so many Gandharvas and Kinnaras and so many Vidyadharas and all kinds of divine beings, all offering flowers to him and offering prayers to him. He saw this stunning sight. He was flabbergasted. He was seeing how, what is this miracle happening in front of me in the waters? Then again he went back to chariot, he found Krishna Balaram there. So then he understood that Lord Krishna, if he wants, he can expand as Vishnu anytime he wants. Himself is possible for him. So in this way he says, therefore you are the primeval Lord, the origin, father of everyone. Why? Because the Purushavataras are, because you protect those who are the shelters of all living beings. So you are the original Narayana. This is the second argument he gives. So first he talks about the shelter, and then he talks about Krishna as the shelter of shelters. Shelter of those who give shelter. Like that. And then third reason he gives is that Krishna, he says, my dear Lord, you are the supreme witness. Although there are countless universes and fathomless transcendental Vaikunthas, you are the witness of the activities of all living entities in the past, present and future. You are the sakshi of everyone, the person. You know the essence of everything. and you are overseeing all these activities. So in this way, actually Krishna does not accept even after Brahmaji says this. You know what he says? He says, Brahma, I cannot understand what you are saying. Lord Narayana is he who sits in the heart of all living beings and lies down in the waters of the Karana ocean. So he says that it is Narayana only who lies in the causal ocean and who also is standing in the heart of every living being. Brahma replied, whatever I said is true. The same Lord Narayana who lives on the waters and in the hearts of living beings, he is but a plenary portion of you. And then he gives this argument finally of the different Vishnus. He says, the super soul of all universes is Mahavishnu. The super soul of the aggregate living entities is Garbhadakshay Vishnu. The super soul of each individual living being is Kshiradakshay Vishnu. And then he says, you are the ultimate shelter of these three plenary expansions. So all these Narayana expansions which are all existing, they are all your Vilas expansions. They are all coming from you only. So they say Brahmaji glorifies. So I read this section from CC because we have to know who the absolute truth is and be convinced of the absolute truth. One time Srila Prabhupada was surrounded by all his GBC men, and spontaneously Prabhupada asked this question to them. Are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme God, Supreme Person of Godhead? How many of you are convinced? When he looked at them, many of them were not very confident. Although they accepted Krishna as God and they were chanting Hare Krishna, still the deep conviction that there is nothing beyond Krishna, Krishna is the source of everything, the conviction doesn't come very easily. It comes, this kind of faith is actually the greatest jewel, or greatest prize that one can ever get. In fact, if we have that faith, you know what Krishna says, if you really have that faith, iti matva bhajante maam, he says. That is the symptom. If somebody says, no, I have the faith. No, but how can I know that you have the faith? You should be doing bhajan of Krishna. Bhajante maam, that is the symptom. So nobody needs to give a certificate to you. Yes, you have developed faith in Krishna. The proof is that one will become focused in bhajan of Krishna. Bhajan is something that is done with bhajatam preeti purvakam, done with love. It is not something that is done as a duty, or it is not something that is done with some expectation like puja. This is the difference between puja and bhajan. You do puja for the sake of getting something. But bhajan is done from the heart, happily, voluntarily, willingly, gladly, springing from the soul. Bhajan is done. So bhajan temam, that symptom should be seen. Otherwise there are so many people who claim that they accept Krishna as supreme. I also know Krishna. I also, I am fond of Krishna, I like Krishna, I love Krishna, I know Krishna. So many people say so many things. But how do you know that they know Krishna? The symptom should be manifested. The bhajan should be there. There are many people, there are some politicians who carry Bhagavad Gita with them to show that they are also godly. Sometimes in South India, just before the elections, we used to find that in the Parthasarathi temple in Chennai, there will be a big crowd of politicians. Kapaleshwara temple and Parthasarathi temple to begin. So immediately the photographers, they clicked the photographs and put it in the newspaper. So and so politician came to the temple and took darshan of the Lord. So that way they will get all the Hindus to put vote for them. And they will take another photograph in the slum also, going and giving some bread to the poor people or whatever. So it's very easy to show that I am a devotee. It's very easy. But Krishna says the symptom of one who accepts Krishna to be supreme is that they are engaged in his bhajan always. That is actually the symptom of a devotee. See, one has, you cannot but worship Krishna. One will be like one fellow, when I was talking to him, so I quoted this last class also, I'm repeating it, it's such an interesting thing. So I asked him, how many rounds you're chanting? He said, no, I'm not chanting. I said, why you're not chanting? You don't have time? He said, no, there is no problem of time. See, my father does all the business and I can sit to 2 hours, 3 hours a day. I have ample of time, he said. And I said, why don't you chant then? What's the problem? Lagan nahiya, he said. The word was lagan, such an appropriate word. So You understand the word lagan?
Hmm.
Isn't it? So, if a boy has a lagan for a girl, he will go 1,000 miles far away, if required.
Hmm.
Isn't it? If a man is attached to a woman, just like the Chintamani story we hear, Villamangala Thakur, isn't it? But, similarly same with God also. When one becomes convinced of God, then no force in this world can stop you. We often give so many excuses, you know, why we were not able to chant our rounds in time, you know, why we didn't go for the program, why we didn't do this or do that in devotion service. We give reasons. But if one has that fixed attention, one has that conviction, then there are no obstacles for you. All the obstacles in the path of your Krishna consciousness will evaporate immediately, as soon as one has this conviction. And that is Krishna's verdict here. He is saying, iti matva, one who accepts this, then bhajante ma bhuta bhava samanvitah. That is why it is not very easy to develop this conviction. You know, now we heard so many things in the Shastra. Even after hearing all these things, it's not very easy to develop the faith. Of course, one way is to hear from the Shastra only. Just like the Pandavas, they heard from Markandeya Rishi about Krishna's supremacy. Markandeya Rishi told his own experience that I saw this child, you know, the child was lying in a banyan leaf, the whole universe was in turmoil, there were, you know, huge waves of the ocean, and everyone was battered, everything was being dissolved. The only one person who existed was this child, this like a bluish sapphire child was lying on the banyan leaf, you know, and I swam towards his child, and child sucked me into his body by inhaling, and inside also I saw the same thing, I came out. So he showed that Krishna is the only one who exists after this dissolution, and the child was none other than Krishna. He told the Pandavas, he declared the truth to the Pandavas. And Pandavas at once, they bowed down to Krishna, knowing that this very same Krishna is the source of everything. Now, hearing from great authorities regularly, Shruta Samvritaya Chiram, it's said in Bhagavatam, that means one has to hear for a long period of time from great souls. It's not overnight. You hear once and you leave it to this year. One has to hear regularly, again and again. Because we have been doing sense gratification for millions of lifetimes, that all of a sudden our mind doesn't accept to give it up so easily. Can you tell your mind, okay, my dear mind, now I have found out a guru, now I am in ISKCON now, now I don't want to gratify you anymore, now you may go back. Now I want to be a devotee now, okay, tata. You know, do you think mind will go away? It will catch you by the neck and ask you, rascal, where are you going? You know, you fed me so much for so many lifetimes and you have been under my feet, now you want to go? Where will you go? In fact, then your mind will bring about, it will suggest you so many injustices in the path of devotional service. It will say that, see, that devotee offended you. You know, you are not having time for your own health. You know, your health is getting spoiled. You know, your friends are ridiculing you. You have to serve your mother and father also. After all, you are living in the world. You have to be practical. Mind gives so many suggestions and tries to catch you by the neck and take you to Maya. Like that. So it's not a very easy thing for but if somehow or other one can resist the mind and again throw oneself in association of devotees over a period of time, then the Krishna consciousness gets awakened in our hearts. And once it gets awakened, then the mind gets purified. Once the mind is purified, the very same mind will work very vigorously in the right direction. That's the beauty of the mind. See, the mind wants to be vigorous in some direction, either wrong direction or right direction. So we have to actually purify the mind so that the mind works vigorously in the right direction. That means enhancing your Krishna consciousness. Now the very same mind becomes very eager to hear Krishna katha and study and learn and serve the devotees more, like that. So when I hear for a long period of time from great personalities who have that faith, and association is a very powerful tool which really awakens the innate faith that we all have in our hearts. When I was in the college, one instance comes to my mind. There was a temple they used to call it a Gopinath temple, but actually it was only Krishna standing alone, yeah, with his flute. No Radharani and no Gopis around. So, but we used to go and worship. It's a traditional Sri Vaishnava temple. So we used to go and worship. So one day they said, three of us boys, they told us, the Swamiji told us, not Swamiji, he's like a Sri Vaishnava, who has a house and he used to do puja and all. So he told us that a very great personality is coming to our village. So, and he'll be coming by this certain such train. So if you all can go and bring him, it'll be nice. And he doesn't have eyes, he's blind also. So you go and kindly please fetch him and bring him. And there were hundreds of people waiting to hear him. So I happened to be with those two boys, we went. So we went to the station, train came in time, and he got down with a stick. Very, very old. He must be like 85 or 86. Very thin, tall personality with body emaciated, and all the whole body with, you know, Sri Vaishnava Tilak. And he was wearing a, you know, dhoti like we were. And he was just having Angavastra on the top, you know. Big, big tilaks on his body. So he got on, as soon as he got on, immediately we went and caught his hand and we helped him and we said, we have come to receive you. And he was very happy, he was touching our head and blessing us. And then we saw, when he was walking back, we were walking back to our, it was about 1.5-2 kilometers walk. And he was like, he would do either of the two things. Either he would be chanting Krishna's names constantly. He was singing, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopala, Hey Madhava, Hey Madhusudana. So either he will be chanting different names to himself, and totally tears and torrents of tears would come from his eyes. So we were stunned by seeing that. And then when we would interrogate him, ask him something, then he would stop and start singing Krishna's pastimes to us. He would say different pastimes. Many of the pastimes we read in Krishna book, he would be telling those pastimes of Krishna and how Krishna was kind to Sudama and all that he would be speaking. So in this way, we spent all our... So he asked my name, what's my name? I said, my name is Ramakrishnan. He immediately started giving purport to this name. His name is Ramakrishnan. So in this way, we found that he was blind on one hand, he was holding a stick and walking. Actually, we didn't have a vehicle to bring him, he was walking practically barefoot on the ground, although the stone was pricking his feet. Some place he would stumble also. But his absorption in the name, absorption in the form of the Lord, absorption in pastimes, and his happiness that we saw, it had a tremendous impact on us. And we brought him to the temple, and he gave a lecture, from just saying something from Bhagavatam he was speaking, and Mahabharata and Bhagavatam combined he was speaking something. So about half an hour, 45 minutes he spoke, and then he was singing many songs. He was singing also, it was about 1.5-2 hours program. But he was such an advanced devotee, you know, having such attraction, loving attraction for Krishna, that it had a very deep impact in all of us. That was just one evening we saw him, that's all. And then we went to drop him back, and then he went. But days after that, and months after that, years after that, even today, it is so fresh in my mind. So I can very confidently say with realization that the association of advanced devotees greatly, positively affects us. Very much. So that day I made up my mind, I want to become a devotee like this. Someday when I will be always thinking of Krishna, I will always be chanting his names. I will be always be absorbed in remembering him. And just see this devotee, he is practically in Vaikuntha. He is always with the Lord. Although his body is emaciated, he is very old, he has taken trouble to come to this village to speak about Krishna. So, I was in my second year, I think, second year B, I think. But it had such an impact. So, by Prabhupada's mercy, we have this ISKCON society where all devotees can come together and associate with one another. We can come to this point of digesting this truth that Krishna is the source of all that exists. Although there are Mayavadis and there are many other impersonalists and other class of people who consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being or to be a politician or to be some great mystic yogi, and with such understanding they all are facing many stumbling blocks in their path back to God. Because they don't have the association of a devotee. So they have many, many misunderstandings about Krishna. Because even Bhagavatam says that, Kritavan kila karmani
సహ రామేణ కేశవ అతిమత్యాని భగవాన్ గూఢ కపట మానుష.
గూఢ కపట మానుష, ఇట్ సేస్ కపట మానుష. యాక్చువల్లీ వన్ క్యాన్ బి ఈజీలీ చీటెడ్ టు థింక్ దట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ ఆర్డినరీ పర్సన్ బికాస్ హీ లుక్స్ లైక్ యూ అండ్ మీ. హీ హాస్ టూ హ్యాండ్స్, హాస్ టూ లెగ్స్, హీ లుక్స్ లైక్ ఆర్డినరీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్. అట్లీస్ట్ విష్ణు హ్యాస్ ఫోర్ హ్యాండ్స్, ఇట్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ అస్. కృష్ణ లుక్స్ లైక్ ఎనీబడి. ఇఫ్ సీ దుర్గాదేవి హ్యాస్ 12 హ్యాండ్స్ ఆర్ 10 హ్యాండ్స్, పీపుల్ క్యాన్ ఈజీలీ అక్సెప్ట్ దెమ్ టు బి గాడ్. బట్ కృష్ణ అపియర్స్ డిసెప్టివ్లీ సింపుల్ అండ్ దాట్ మేక్స్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ వర్స్ ఇన్ అక్సెప్టింగ్ హిమ్ అస్ గాడ్. బట్ కృష్ణ డస్ ఎనఫ్ థింగ్స్ టు ప్రూవ్ దట్ ఈస్ గాడ్. బై ఓపెనింగ్ హిస్ మౌత్ హీ షోడ్ ద హోల్ క్రియేషన్ ఇన్ హిస్ మౌత్. శ్రీ మదర్ యశోద, హీ షోడ్ ద విశ్వరూప దర్శన్ టు హిస్ డివోటీ అర్జున. అర్జున వుడ్ నెవర్ వాంట్ టు సీ విశ్వరూప దర్శన్, బట్ హీ న్యూ దట్ దెర్ ఆర్ సమ్ చీటర్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్ల్డ్ హూ మే లేటర్ ఆన్ క్లెయిమ్ దట్ ఐఎమ్ ఆల్సో కృష్ణ, ఐఎమ్ ఆల్సో రామ, ఐఎమ్ ఆల్సో గాడ్. సో అట్ దట్ టైమ్ పీపుల్ కెన్ ఆస్క్ షో మీ యూర్ విశ్వరూప దర్శన్ అండ్ దే విల్ రన్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ దాట్. దట్ ఇస్ వై అర్జున డిమాండెడ్ కృష్ణ టు షో దట్ విశ్వరూప దర్శన్. సో కృష్ణ ప్రూవ్స్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ టు బి గాడ్ ఇన్ మెనీ ప్లేసెస్, బట్ స్టిల్ ఫూలిష్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ కాల్డ్ అస్ మూఢాస్ హీ సేస్ అవజానంతి మా మూఢా మానుషీం తను మాషితం. దే కెనాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ హౌ కెన్ దే డోంట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ కృష్ణ దెన్ హౌ కెన్ డూ హిస్ భజన్, ఇట్స్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్. వెరాజ్ ఇతి మత్వా వన్ హూ అక్సెప్ట్ దిస్ ట్రూత్ భజంతే మా. దట్ ఈస్ వై దెర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ డివోటీస్ కమింగ్ హియర్ టు ద ప్రోగ్రామ్, బట్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ డోంట్ ఇంక్రీస్ బియాండ్ 1 రౌండ్ 2 రౌండ్స్. వై? దే మే సే, యు నో, ఐఎమ్ బిజీ, యు నో, ఐ హావ్ టు డూ దిస్ ఇన్ ద ఆఫీస్, ఐ హావ్ టు డూ దిస్ అట్ హోమ్, ఐ హావ్ టు గో హియర్ గో దేర్. Of course, it may be all right in the beginning, you know, if you are taking 1 month or 2 months. But if somebody is coming for 5 years, 10 years, and they don't increase beyond 1 or 2 rounds, that means they are unable to accept Krishna as Supreme. They have difficulty in accepting Him as Supreme. Because when the realization dawns, you just cannot keep quiet. You have to become Krishna's devotee. Just like imagine if you are in the train, all of a sudden, they say that there is a fire accident, there is an electricity accident, the whole train is set ablaze, and the train has stopped now in some station, and then everywhere you are hearing screaming sound, yelling sound of people, and everyone sound, people are all running, and you see the whole train is on fire, and you also want to escape, and you have 2 big suitcases, one wheel, what do you call that, wheel luggage, one wheel luggage also, and 2 big suitcases, and 2 big bags, and you have kept your, small bag also on the side, and you spread all your items on the, you know, bogie. Which one would you take? Any of them? Would you like to take any of them? None of them. You just wind up and try to save your life. You will want to run away from there. So, that means if you realize the seriousness of the problem, then you would immediately want to save yourself. Similarly, as soon as one realizes Krishna to be the Supreme, the root of everything, source of everything, ఇది మత్వ భజంతే మా బుధా భావ సమన్వితా. యాక్చువల్లీ భావ ఇస్ ద ఎక్స్టాటిక్ లవ్. అదో శ్రద్ద సాహసంగ భజన క్రియ అనత్యం వృత్తి నిష్ఠ రుచి రతి ఆసక్తి అన్ భావ భావ సమన్విత. ఇన్ గ్రేట్ ఎక్స్టాటిక్ లవ్ వన్ విల్ చాంట్ కృష్ణస్ నేమ్స్, వన్ విల్ డూ భజన్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ. బుధా ఇస్ దిస్, బుధా మీన్స్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ పర్సన్. ది బుధా ఇస్ ద రూట్, బుద్ ఇస్ ద రూట్ వర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ విత్ ద వర్డ్ బుద్ధ ఆల్సో కమ్స్. Buddha means one who is enlightened. That's the meaning of the word Buddha also. So one who is enlightened, that's why it is said, Jai Krishna Bhaje, Sei Bada Chatur, it is said. One who worships Krishna is the most intelligent, it is said, because he has understood the root of all existence. It is saying Buddha, Bhava Samanbita. Bhajante Imam. So Prabhupada elsewhere explains this bhajan. In another verse we will discuss more about this word bhaja. Bhaja, Prabhupada says the bhaja should not be used for any demigod. We cannot use the word bhaja for anybody else other than Krishna. Bhaja is something that is done selflessly, without any motivation, without any expectation. And it's very sincerely performed, kirtan. Here it also means engaging in the Lord's service. That's also called as bhajan, as he uses here. The wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So Prabhupada quotes many, many verses supporting how Krishna is the Supreme Truth. At least Prabhupada would say sometimes, at least according to Bhagavad Gita, Mattah parataram na anjayat kinchidasti dhananjaya. There is no truth superior to me. Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita. Mattah parataram na anjayat. There is no truth superior to me. I am the ultimate truth. So Krishna is so kind that without leaving a trace of ambiguity, he has declared the truth about himself to his devotee Arjuna and in turn to all of us, so that we may put aside all other considerations of this world and develop complete faith in him and in the path of devotional service and become his devotee. And subsequent verses will teach about how a devotee behaves and how the Lord reciprocates with the devotee. We'll be discussing that. But this is the first thing you have to understand. Krishna is the source of everything. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, in the introduction, Prabhupada says, at least theoretically, one has to accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you have to proceed from there to understand the rest of Bhagavad Gita, because Arjuna declares Krishna as God, great rishis like Achita, Devala, Vyasa in the ancient times, and Shankaracharya, Madhavacharya, Ramanujacharya, all of them in the modern times, are declaring him to be Supreme Truth. Purna Purushottam. He is not a partial, he is Purna. He is complete manifestation of Godhead. In fact, all the avatars, Ramadi, Murtishu, Kalani, Yamena, Tishtan, Nana Avataram, Akarod, Bhuvanesha, Kintu, all the avatars come from him. He is Avatari, means the source of all the avatars. Then how can one say that I cannot accept him as Supreme? So Prabhupada says, without accepting him as Supreme, then the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will not be of much help to one. It may just be a bookish knowledge. But when one accepts him as Supreme, then one will want to engage in his bhajan, engage in his service, engage all one's senses and mind and energies and resources and time, everything that one has in Krishna service. And in that way one makes the progress. You know that story of a man, you know, he was working with a panchayat leader, then he went to the tahsildar, then he went to he was having knowledge of the immediate cause, isn't it? He thought, this is my immediate head. Then he understood somebody more remote, and then he came to the most remote. In fact, that story is explained even more beautifully. He explained, at last he came to the king of the country. He thought, king is the topmost person, I should serve him. And the story ends there saying that he served the king. But in another place, Prabhupada writes a different thing. He says, once he saw the king going to the temple of God. He went to the temple of God, and then he was bowing down there, and then this person saw that king is going to the temple bowing down. So that means God must be the greatest. So let me serve him. So then he develops the story. He says, then this person went there, but the temple doors were closed. And this man was just lying down right outside the door. He wanted to serve the Lord very eagerly. And then the morning the pujari came and he was, you know, trying to unlock the door. And he went inside and found that the Lord's chadar was missing. And then he says that, he was wondering, where is it? Then he came out and he saw that the person was putting the chadar on his body. And he became angry, how did you get the chadar? I locked the temple and went. Then he understood that the Lord actually wanted this person to serve him. So the pujari engaged him in the Lord's service afterwards. Prabhupada says, ultimately engaged in Krishna's service. The ultimate person, ultimate Purushottama. What is that verse? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adi Devam, Ajam, Vibhum. Very, very wonderful verse. So, we'll conclude here. We'll continue with the next verses next week. Hare Krishna.